Hi, I'm Mike Gaswood, CEO of Tricert Financial Group. Welcome to the seventh episode of what we're calling the Echo Series on Legacy Planning. Today, we're going to be talking about business continuity strategies. And joining me today is a special guest, Connor Gates, who's an accounting partner at one of the group's accounting firms. Welcome, Connor.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here.
Great to have you here. So, business continuity strategies. So, I mean, it's kind of an obvious question, but let's get it on the table. Why are we talking about, you know, succession planning in the context of leaving a legacy?
Well, everybody that we're going to be dealing with, business owners, their business is a living, breathing entity. It's just like the family pet. You're not going to strand your family pet in your will or in your succession plan. So why are you going to leave your business drifting off to sea? It's something that continues to survive and outlive you as an individual. So we need to come up with a plan to be able to manage the business at some point in the future when you're no longer going to be around. Now, CPA released an article that there's going to be a $1 trillion wealth transfer from now until 2026. So it's a really short amount of time where we're going to be seeing this largest intergenerational transfer of wealth ever. And a lot of that is going to be related to business transfer to the next generation.
Right. Makes total sense. And that, to your point, this is a sizable event that's happening as we speak. So, and it makes sense. So you think about it, you set up a wonderful businesses here. You want to make sure that's part of your legacy, right? And leave your mark appropriately and that it carries on. If in fact that's what you'd want to do. So let's talk about timing. When should owner operators think about this? You know, I mean, they're knee deep in business today. Let's say I'm a middle-aged person. Let's say I'm in my 30s or 40s or 50s. At what point should someone be thinking about succession?
Yesterday. You know, the best time to do it is yesterday. The next best time is to do it today. So there's a lot of planning that is going to go into running your business. But having that succession planning in mind and the future of your business will help shape how you're going to grow your business today. If your succession plan is going to be to move your business to another entity or to try and, you know, one of the strategies, sell off your business to a larger corporation, what can you do to your business now to ensure that it's going to fit that mold, that it's marketable for something in the future? If part of it is having a good team around you, how are you going to structure your business to introduce different divisions that would have the managers that are in place to be able to run it, knowing that, you know, the future is coming where you're not going to be involved? So you're always wanting to think about what the future is going to look like in any capacity, and especially with estate planning and how and succession planning for the business, and how are we going to set this thing so that moving forward, we're moving towards that plan?
Makes sense. And to your point yesterday, again, it just makes total sense. This is something that sadly, anything could happen. And, I mean, legacies, we're talking about accidents, we're talking about death, illness, sadly, anything could happen at any point in time. So, who should be considered as a successor if you're thinking about, assigning, passing the business on, so to speak?
A lot of that is going to come down to your personal dynamic and your family dynamic. With smaller businesses, if it's a family operated business, oftentimes you'll see that it transfers to a family member or somebody that is involved in the business. If you don't have a family that's involved in the business, then maybe you're looking at a key employee. If it's not a type of business where a key employee could be involved, is your business even marketable? We talk about succession planning. Maybe it isn't something where you're going to move the business along to somebody. Maybe it's just, you know, sundowning your business and trying to have everything in place to wrap it up in the event that you're not around, because not every business has a market to be able to sell. You know, we're talking about who should be involved in the transaction. A lot of this is going to come down to your accountant, your financial planner, your lawyer, and depending on how tricky it can be, maybe throw a mediator in there if you're dealing with some family business, and sometimes that can go a little bit sideways. But there is a very large opportunity to be able to structure these transactions for some very large tax savings. When people are looking at what their goals are with succession planning, often you're wanting to maximize your retirement income, reduce taxes, same time, ensure that the business can continue if that's something that you wanted, and that what you've grown and that, you know, your family pet that's been with you forever is going to continue to thrive in your absence. And if you're introducing family into the business, you want to protect your family as well and ensure that as part of the succession plan that there's nothing that could ruin the harmony of your family. And, you know, we often see, you know, conflict between family members when it comes down to estates and wills and succession with business when there's family members that aren't necessarily involved with the business. So, you know, when we get to looking at the transaction itself and some of the opportunities that lie there, you're really going to want to rely on those key members that are around you, those key professionals that are around you, with your accountant to go over a lot of the tax strategy with succession planning, your financial planner to go over the cash flow strategy, the management of the proceeds of this and what that future retirement is going to look like, and then your lawyer to package it up for you.
So that's good advice, Connor. Any more details on this? Any examples maybe that you and your firm have kind of experienced here in terms of either, you know, turning to family members or, again, employees, people involved in the business?
Yeah, so I was recently at a conference and the keynote address was from Jean Charest. And what Jean Charest said was, it was directed to small business owners, and he said, you need to have good partners in your business in order to be successful. So, you know, when we look at small family businesses, we're often looking at having family members run the business. So a family member might be the ideal candidate for a succession plan, but you have to ask yourself, is that person equipped to be able to manage a business? Do they want to manage the business? And how do you equalize your business when there is a family member that might not be involved? And oftentimes you can run into a lot of conflict, like we discussed earlier, when you're bringing family into the business. So you pivot to what we talked about as management, having management involved. But do they have the resources to be able to acquire a business financially? Often these are very large transactions that require a certain amount of cash flow to come out of it. So do they have access to that? And then if you're able to support that person or that key management to be able to be your succession plan, are you taking on a risk that your business might not succeed and you might not realize that financial gains out of the transaction if you're holding the bag for them? You know, we talk about when we start thinking about succession planning. Well, again, we have to go back to, we need to talk about this now, because if we're going to look into management, well, we need to be able to attract and retain talent in our business. So perhaps finding somebody that is hired with succession planning in mind is a great way to be able to bring good talent into your business and keep them involved in the business, knowing that they have a real future there, instead of having it go to a third party where they're going to have a new boss that they don't know what's going to happen.
And you mentioned it already, the financial issues. So talk a bit more about that. What issues need to be considered on the financial side of things?
Well, the biggest thing is going to be looking at how we can structure these transactions for tax efficiency. There's been a few changes that were announced with the recent budget where we look at capital gains inclusion rates increasing. But with that, it sort of got swept under the rug that a lot of business owners might have missed, that there were actually some enhancements that were made to support the sale of a small business What they introduced in the budget that's going to be enacted later this month, June 2024, looking at a June 2025 start date, is what's called the Canadian Entrepreneurs Incentive. So this is a new incentive that for small business owners that are selling their small business corporation shares, that allows them to reduce their capital gains by a factor of 50%. Mm. So we've talked about how with the capital gains inclusion rate going up to 66% or 2/3 instead of the current 50%, well, they've introduced this new incentive so that a future sale up to a certain amount will be taxed at 1/3 now, or half of that inclusion rate. They're also expanding what's called the lifetime capital gains exemption, which is an amount that you can earn on the sale of a small business corporation share that's completely tax-free. It's an exemption for the capital gains on small business corporation share sales. And they're increasing that to $1,250,000 in June 2025, and then it's going to be indexed going forward. So currently, with all of the changes to the capital gains inclusion rate, you're actually better off under this new tax rule for any gains up to $6 million, six and a quarter, actually, $6.25 million. So you can get a pretty sizable advantage now under these new rules for small business transfers. Even up to, at $3.5 million, even though we're seeing the increase in the capital gains inclusion rate with these other benefits, at $3.5 million in capital gains, your taxable income is almost $500,000 less under this new change versus the old set of rules. When we talk about timing, though, it's really important that we start to plan for this, because there's holding period requirements and there's things that need to be in place for your small business in order to qualify for any of these advantages tax-wise. And there are significant savings to be able to access the lifetime capital gains exemption and this new Canadian Entrepreneurs Incentive. So we need to start planning for this now to ensure that your business is able to qualify for these tax savings. It's not something that we can say, oh, well, you know, we have a signed sale agreement, but we've got this one caveat that, yeah, we can't qualify for this. There's nothing that we can do overnight to be able to make this happen. It's a multi-year process in some cases to be able to get your business from being not qualified for these to being able to qualify for them.
You know, it's interesting. We always fixate on the negative of the federal budget, but it is good to hear that there's some positives also coming out. And, wrapping up the episode, it's clear there is a lot to consider, you know, back to the who and really in the complexities involved and who to involve, and back to the timing. You got to think about this sooner than later, because it does take time to map all this together. So, Connor, thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Mike.
As always, folks, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to your CPA or your CPA firm's financial advisor, your portfolio manager here at Tricert Investment Counsel, or don't hesitate to reach out to myself. Take care.